scop prasa.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa, the show where two Brasa talk about movie news, reviews, shorts,
which are trailers,
yes, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
The show is divided into two segments, news and shorts, where we talk about news and shorts.
Trailers.
And, oh my god, I'm going to kill myself before this thing is over. And reviews, where we discuss a movie that we've both seen this past week. Let's do it.
Where news and shorts.
Is this heaven?
No, it's the great before.
This is where new souls get their personalities, quirks, and interests before they go to Earth.
Meet 22.
I don't want to go to Earth.
Stop fighting this.
I don't want to.
Okay, look, I already know everything about Earth, and I don't want anything to do with it.
You're missing out on the joys of life, like pizza. I can't smell. We can't taste either.
All that stuff is in your body.
No smell, no taste.
Or touch. See?
Okay, I get it. Wow. It's my life.
Is all this living really worth dying for?
Next one we're going to chat about The Soul, the newest animated film from Pixar. So, the voice cast includes Jamie Foxx, Tina Fey, Questlove, Felicia Rashad, and David Diggs. Directed by Pete Docter and Kim Powers. I don't really know those directors at all. Brief synopsis of the film. Joe is a middle school band teacher whose life hasn't quite gone the way he expected. His true passion is jazz and he's good, but when he travels to another realm to help someone find their passion, he soon discovers what it means to have a soul.
I don't know about that. Like, it looks like the standard Pixar, you know, they want to make you cry and laugh and go through all the emotions on the spectrum. I'm a little tired of the sequels, the animated sequels, so definitely. I'm looking for some originality, especially with these animated films from Pixar.
We spoke about that last week, the fact that there are so many sequels and adaptations coming out, so any original film for me is exciting.
Any original film?
Really, like I'm at that point in my life now. One thing I'm very excited about is Jamie Foxx as a voice character. I mean, the dude is insanely talented. It feels like whatever he does, he's good at. I quite like the character that he's playing here, and mixing in the jazz stuff, I think should hopefully bring in some musicality from his part as well. I think Tina Fey is always funny in whatever she does. So I think that it's a really cool cast. The story seems interesting.
Touching on the voice actors and so on, Shame, I do feel bad for like actual voice actors who never get to like be in these big budget animated films and so on, because... You know, I understand. They do it because you want to put a name behind it. You want to put a star in there and you want to attract people to the cinemas or to watch it on at home. So I get it. But there are really good voice actors that are not being brought to the forefront because of actors taking their spot, to say.
But do you think, is it Tom Hanks' fault with the first Toy Story? Was that like one of the first times that they had a very big actor doing a voice in an animated film?
Possibly. I mean, back in the day when we used to watch the Disney animated films, it's like I didn't even care, to be fair, who the voice was. None. You cared about the story, you cared about the animation. And
that's what swept you up.
Exactly. So a star didn't pull me into those movies. Nowadays, it's like you have to have a big star on that fucking poster.
Yeah. Hashtag voice actors are actors too.
That's a good one. Check that out on our Instagram. Voice actors are actors too.
Moving on to the last one for this week, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Red outside,
where's the horn player?
I got a friend.
Come on, Libby, you rehearse like everybody else.
I'm gonna get me a band and make me some records. I know how to play real music, not this jug band shit.
You call that playing music?
I know what I'm doing. Go on and fire me, I don't care.
When I got there, they began to say,
that's to get the people's attention. That's when you and Slow Drag come in with the rhythm part, me and Cutler play on the break.
Well,
Levy, the sooner you understand it ain't what you say, it's what my say to count.
We'll be ready to go in 15 minutes.
We'll be ready to go when Madam says we're ready to go. And that's the way it go around here.
Starring Viola Davis in the titular role, I'm pretty sure. Chadwick Boseman in his last role before we found out about his passing. And then Glenn Turman, directed by George C. Wolfe. The film is about tensions rising when trailblazing blues singer Ma Rainey and her band gather at a recording studio in Chicago in 1927. First thing I really want to touch on, as I watched this trailer, I was telling Jenna, I'm pretty sure Chadwick Boseman's going to be pushed for an Oscar for this. Because, you know, he's winning this. They love posthumous Oscar awards.
And
his role, I think there's enough heft just from the trailer that you can see why they're going to push him.
I think they love it because no one is going to argue.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be controversial.
No.
The person's dead. You're going to look like a dick if you're like,
yeah,
they didn't deserve it for that. And
exactly.
You're like, dude, the guy's dead.
I mean, imagine people were upset about Heath Ledger winning everything the year that he passed away.
It's like, riot.
Just don't do it, guys.
Anyway, I am kind of excited for this one because it's produced by Denzel Washington.
Yes, yes.
But they did Fences. Mm. So Fences is based on a play as well. And yeah. I, to be honest, look, hate me if you want.
I thought
it was dog boring.
Yeah. Didn't translate.
Yeah, there wasn't enough locations. And it was, I know it's all about the dialogue.
As a play,
yeah.
Fences works amazingly well. But he couldn't translate it to
film. Yeah, so there's a risk of that happening here. But you have music. You have those type of things coming into play. Okay. So I think that it will be a bit more exciting, and I think it will be able to hold my attention a bit better.
I was pretty excited for it. I have a little bit of trepidation, just the thought of seeing Chadwick Boseman in his final role. Like, this is the last original film.
And you can see, did you look how skinny he was?
Yeah, Jenna picked up on that as well. Like, you can see it there.
Shame.
So I have almost this is the last time I'm going to see him, and I know he isn't making anything after this.
Well, unless Marvel plumps his face on there.
Yeah.
I doubt they'll do that, though.
No, they'll wait like 5 years
before. The disrespect.
It's coming out on Netflix, right?
Fuck, everything's coming out on Netflix.
What about Amazon? What about Apple?
Soul is on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Netflix is the rest.
Everything else.
Let's jump into the news. So, this upset me. Furiosa, they've now cast Anya Taylor-Joy as a young Furiosa. Mm-hmm. And she's joined by Chris Hemsworth and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. He was Manta in Aquaman.
Yes, and will be the star of the new Candyman film.
Yes, I care less about that. I'm not into horror movies. Anyway, Charlize Theron was Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road, and I honestly thought that they were going to put her in a Furiosa movie on her own.
She deserved it.
She did deserve it.
She stole that movie completely.
She could have represented for amputees.
For all intents and purposes, she was the star of that film.
Fuck, man.
I mean, it was called Mad Max, but Tom Holland was in a muzzle for like 3/4 of that film, and she was the driving force behind
her. She was. I was excited to see her just, you know, handle shit on her own in that fucking desert.
I feel like something must have happened for her to not be brought back and for them to decide to go this way with the story.
Though. Look, she was disappointed, according to reports, but she said she trusts George Miller's vision, and if he has a vision to tell a story with a younger Furiosa, then it's his franchise.
I know, and if you remember with the last, when Mad Max was filming, there was all that drama going on. That movie took like, what, a good 10 years.
They were in Namibia. They were not happy. They were like, oh, the fucking price of bread is so expensive.
And everyone was so upset and saying this movie's going to bomb. It's going to be terrible. And then it comes out and is one of the best action movies in the last decade.
100%.
So if George Miller thinks this is the way to go, maybe we should have some faith in him. But I still think it's really unfortunate that Charlize isn't getting another chance at this character.
Shit. Give the South Africans a chance. Space Jam 2 script leaks.
Yeah, that's like batty, eh? I don't know if this is legit. I've seen a few sources like writing about this, but apparently the idea for the script is that LeBron and his son are going to be visiting Warner Bros. Studios.
Yeah.
They're going to somehow get transported to a different world. And excitingly, if this is real, Warner Bros. Is actually going to have access to the entire filmography. So they might do a whole Ready Player One vibe with LeBron and his son. and have that kind of in the mix. And then they are going to be other famous basketball players. I don't really watch NBA, so I can't name any of the other people. But apparently they are all like really cool.
Well, Magic Johnson can't play anymore.
I don't think so. Eh? Yeah. But he's still peak physical condition.
Yeah, yeah. What we discovered with Magic Johnson is the cure for AIDS is money. So, but anyway,
get that man's blood in a vial.
Back to the film. I don't want to involve other characters in there. This is like, Space Jam was like Looney Tunes, dude. Exactly. I don't care. I don't want Harry Potter characters and other stuff to come into play. Yeah?
And also, it's most people have seen The Last Dance by now. So yeah, we all have Michael Jordan back in our minds. He's like right there again. And Space Jam is like the only film he did. So if you now are redoing it.
If they bring Michael back. And CGI Michael.
He's going to take it personally.
Yeah. We know that. Take it personally. You know. And then they can settle who the greatest is, you know, once and for all. I'd watch that.
Hashtag it's not LeBron.
But it's not going to be on basketball. It's just physically fighting each other. A giant octagon comes down and they just have to beat the shit out of each other. Man. Fast and Furious, the franchise, will be ending after two more films.
Thank the Pope.
What's wrong with Fast and
Where else are they going to go?
Dude, another planet. We already heard they're going to space. Now it's fucking Fast and Furious. Mars and Furious.
So Vin is going to change the quote. It's going to be like, doesn't matter if I die on Earth or on Mars.
Yeah.
Dying's dying.
I'm still family. I've got family on Mars. Uh-huh. Directed by Justin Lin. Both movies are going to be directed by Justin Lin.
Which is, I mean, Justin Lin is the person who took this franchise to the next level.
The game.
So hopefully he can seal the deal. But
I have a lot of fun with these, Jody. I must be honest. I do enjoy them.
They kind of peaked at six for me, eh?
Yeah, you go cack,
like
man.
They peaked at six.
No.
What? Five was my absolute fave, but
no, eight had a submarine.
I don't care. Five had that Brazil song at the end that also had the Brazil line.
No, I'm tired of the Latin American music on in the Fast and Furious man. Every time they're like, like, come on, man. Choose another genre now. Enough.
Anyway, it's ending.
Yeah. Choose like Japanese disco. That's a cool one.
It's ending save for the spin-offs. This, like a billion of those.
Do you think The Rock will return for these?
No, I doubt it.
I don't know. They look like they kind of buried the hatchet.
But I think that The Rock is also massive at the moment. I'm not talking just about physically, but his profile is insane.
Yeah.
For him to come back, I think he would want to like either be right up there with Vin in terms of like stars.
No, but it's in their contract.
Yeah, I know.
They everything. Can't get beaten in a fight.
Yeah, the number of punches are in their contracts.
Yeah, I say everything. Spin-off series, mm-hmm. Tyrese and Ludacris.
That's already been in the works, I believe.
I should work for the fucking movie companies.
Yeah, man.
That's a movie I'll watch.
Except you've plagiarized it. That was already being discussed.
There's no proof. This is audio proof that I just came up with this idea. And we'll take it from there.
Uh-huh.
Contact me. What studio is that? Universal.
Universal.
Contact me, Universal. BicycleBrasa@gmail.com. Okay, this one, I this is a funny story.
This is crazy.
So, there was a writer on Twitter. Her name is Amy Berg. And she posted a picture of the four Hollywood Chrises. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, mm-hmm. Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the caption there, one has to go.
Mm. Who's the worst Chris?
Who's the worst Chris? Twitter decided that for
and pretty unanimously.
They chose Chris Pratt as the worst Chris.
Yeah, shame.
For the following reason. So they chose Chris Pratt due to his religious beliefs. So he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. And possibly his political views. He's not a very political person, but from what people see on social media, he leans to the right and tends to be conservative and a Republican.
Mm.
So based on that, they automatically think that he is a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. He also attends a church in Los Angeles who allegedly have anti-LGBTQ plus views.
I think anti-abortion as well. Something like that. They're quite like old school in terms of the Christian beliefs at that church.
Yeah. So, the Avengers became the defenders.
Very much.
And came to his defense. speaking on him as a person and dealing with him and basically saying, yeah, you guys can't judge him because you don't know him.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr. were pretty much at the forefront of that.
James Gunn mentioned something.
It's his personal choices, whatever he does in his personal life.
Yeah.
I think that the people who know him, who consider themselves his friends, have a... It's a smart way to think about this, that just leave him be. No one actually knows him personally.
Yeah, but you can still also be racist and have black friends.
Yeah. All racists apparently have black
friends. Yeah, I have a black friend. That's what they always say.
But I think in this case, come on, guys, don't be so harsh on Chris.
Like, no, be harsh on him. Fuck him. He's the worst, Chris.
He was the worst one after Avengers Infinity War. If it wasn't for him, Thanos would have lost, damn it.
I don't care about the movies, man. Be a good person, you fucking bastard. Essentially, it doesn't really matter. But again, he's in the public eye and people are going to have an opinion.
This is true. This is true.
So, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Jody added a last minute news thing that I really don't care for, but I guess we have to talk about it. Jared Leto is returning as the fucking Joker for the Snyder cut of the Justice League.
As you guys may or may not know, we aren't particularly big fans of the Snyder cut. This is just further proof of what we've been saying, though. I mean, first of all, this film was apparently completed before it was like shelved by whoever the fuck produced it.
Yeah.
Now we have like Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, Jared Leto coming back, all for like new scenes that are being filmed.
Yeah, yeah. What if it was done, why do you need reshoots, bro?
Also, Jared Leto was not a good Joker.
Yo, he was the cackest Joker ever. They could have cast Michael Cera and it been a better Joker.
It really would have. So yeah, I am. When I saw this, I was hoping that it was just like a fake-ass rumor.
You know something. He has a cult, right?
Ooh.
Jared Leto.
That's nice.
No, he's got like a legit cult.
Is it because of his band or because of his acting?
No, because he looks like Jesus. Ah. So he's got this cult there on an island. You guys can Google it. They praise him like he's the Messiah and shit. And he goes to this island. They call like the Enlightened or some shit like that.
It's the worst Jared thing.
He's the worst Jared, but okay, who's the other Jared?
I don't care, he's the worst. He's competing with Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. Ooh, and he's worse than him.
The pedophile from Subway is also his name is also Jared. Jared Leto Cult Island. This is a thing, bro.
And he's there in the robe. And
he's got the old Jesus robe. He wears sunglasses. That's a
fire fist.
I am not joking. This
Lordy,
is legit.
Lordy.
So he invites fans to like this cult and they walk around in like these white flowy things and he preaches to them and sings and shit.
He's standing here with like sunglasses and flowing hair and a robe.
Yeah, it's bananas. He probably has sex with them. I know.
I'm pretty sure he does.
If that's standard cult practice.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a cult.
They all just fuck each other.
Lots of interbreeding.
But they all pay to be there.
Ooh, the starter package is $995. And it goes up to $6,499.
It's on sale. See you in Croatia.
Who does the money go to?
The cult, obviously. You need to put the money back in the cult.
Fuck me.
It's called the Echelon. That's what it's called.
So
if you guys are interested, you can Google Jared Leto's cult and then you can realize that he's the worst Jared.
He's the worst Jared, the worst Joker. Just shut your face.
Go preach your bullshit somewhere else.
Sec, it's time for a review.
As a trained volunteer, I know what it's like when your spooky friend gets out of hand.
Oh, Mr. Steve, no. The supermarket's selling expired bacon. Janet at the library has not been herself lately.
I heard a voice in the sewer.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize him.
It's pretty impressive how long he's been a loser.
Oh, messing with Shoopy Dubois.
Murder!
The Salem tradition.
You gotta expect a scare here or there.
There's something off in this town.
Angry? Movie Halloween. We decided to go with a very Halloween-themed movie because this episode's coming out around Halloween.
We don't celebrate Halloween in South Africa.
No. not down with the Hallows, yo. Starring Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Julie Bowen, Ray Liotta, Rob Schneider, and probably like 1,000 cameos.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi.
That other black guy
who's in Maya his other Angelou.
Movies. The other white guy that's in his movie.
Yeah.
The, I don't know.
All of them are there. So this film is directed by Stephen Brill, who's been involved with a ton of Adam Sandler films,
yeah,
as well as Drillbit Taylor, Walk of Shame, a few other things. The synopsis says that it's October 31st in Salem, Massachusetts, you know, the place where all the witches were.
Mm.
And the town's eccentric, devoted community volunteer and the good-natured object of his fellow citizens' derision and meanest pranks finds himself in the midst of a real investigation for a real murderer.
I don't know why. That's more fucking drama than the movie could ever make.
And horror. Yo.
Yo, this was not anyway, good, Jody.
Anyway, yeah, give your honest opinions on this
Okay, this movie was not so good.
Not so good.
Not so good. I feel like it was made in the wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of his 90s, early 2000s movies that he dusted off and then he brought. Yeah, so it felt out of place, like, just for this time.
Whooped that whole plot right from then till now, and he's like, I'm just gonna, the only thing new about it is Netflix.
Yeah, really, that's the only thing new about it. There's too many cameos. There's too many characters. Way there's too many fucking people that have lines, yes. I feel. You can't keep track of them all, and some of them don't pay off. It was they're just there to get paid for the day and get a hot meal and then fuck off.
I think so.
No, the jokes were super stale. There's one recurring joke that his mother wears these t-shirts that are quite crude, mm-hmm. like...
She bought them at a thrift store and she's very unaware of what they say.
So I saw the first one and then I told my wife, this is going to happen throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And fair enough, it did. Every time you saw her, she's wearing a different weird shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy. Anyway, I did laugh a couple of times. That was mainly for Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
I felt like he kind of stole the show.
Who is such a treasure, and why Steve? Why? Why?
Because he's friends with him. He's friends with Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler has two characters in general.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy with a speech impediment and then a guy without a speech impediment. Yeah. Those are his two characters.
That's pretty much, that's his wheelhouse right now.
Yubi is like in this town and everyone treats him like shit.
For no apparent reason.
No other reason.
Yeah.
Why is everyone so mean to him?
Yeah, it's like, imagine how bullying is generally understood.
Yeah.
Ramp that up 10,000 degrees and that is like Yubi in Salem.
Yeah, he rides down the street on his bicycle and they randomly throw him with like bricks and fucking...
anything you can think of, like a sink and toasters and bricks and
balls that are lit on fire.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they're throwing the shit at him every single time is ridiculous. So I feel like everything that they set up to be specifically funny just wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think the accent was a horrible idea this time around.
I was starting to hear it as well.
I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
Like so many times. Actually, the first time I watched this, spoiler alert, I fell asleep. So I watched it again to like finish the film.
And he fell asleep again.
I almost did. And I actually watched it with headphones the second time because I could not make out what he was saying.
Yeah.
The accent was so, so hard to figure out.
Yeah.
I just think this whole movie feels like a waste of talent. There are so many talented people in this thing. I mean, Julie Bowen is loved in Modern Family. Like, Maya Rudolph
is a comedic treasure. Why does she love him so much?
I don't know. That's the point. It's like everyone is... it's like various versions of his fantasies of how people should think of him.
Yeah,
maybe. It feels like, which is just so weird to put to film. And they buy into it. I don't know why. The whole MacGuffin about the serial killer was incredibly, like, it was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Why have that whole thing and then just it leads to nowhere? It was so, so stupid. The Friday the 13th twist about the mom was like, okay, yeah, I didn't see it coming. No, I did. It was dumb. Everything about this movie was too on the nose. It's like they have to make it so obvious to you that like Ray Liotta is a terrible person.
Yeah.
That they ramp it up to like 1,000 for no reason whatsoever.
I honestly didn't understand why they look, they try and justify in the end like why everyone is so mean, but it still doesn't make sense, even once they reveal their reasons.
It plays out like the fantasy of someone who was bullied their whole life coming to reality. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me. So it's like Ray Liotta is actually, like, he acted as though he was dyslexic when in reality he's just stupid because he's jealous of Yubi. That was his motivation his whole life. Like, everyone was apparently jealous of Yubi because he's, like, comfortable in his skin. Yeah. That's why they bully him.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a... There are better ways to tell that story.
Yeah, like, paper thin.
So
paper
many, thin bullshit. So many better ways. And even the bit with his mom standing up for him. It's like, when you're 6 years old, that's, like, so cool when your parents fight for you.
He's a grown-ass man.
He's a grown man.
He's fucking, like, 40.
And he went to go call his mommy, and then his mommy cut him out.
I think the way he feels he can get away with it is by having that speech impediment.
Yeah.
So he appears childlike at times, but if you break it down to actually what he says, and he's not a stupid person.
No, he's not.
He's quite competent, and he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But because he speaks like that, everyone treats him like shit. It's so fucking odd, man.
That seems to be their motivation. Like,
yeah.
Like, say, well, look at him and look at how he talks.
That's and he keeps having this flask. Or they call it
canteen.
No, a fucking thermos.
Thermos, yes. The reason I said canteen, like, touching on another point, this is basically a character that is completely rehashed from his time on SNL called Canteen Boy. He himself admitted this before the film came out. He's like, it's a little bit like Canteen Boy. The whole bloody thing was Canteen Boy grown up without ever growing up. Yeah, the intense love in the end that Julie Bowen's character has for him was like weird.
Didn't make sense. Like, I actually thought after a while, she's mentally ill.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with this bitch. Yeah. That, why does she fucking love him?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And then he goes riding off into the sunset with all the kids telling him, oh, Yubi, you the man. It really felt like a bullying victim's wet dream of what redemption would feel like.
But again, this shit would have flown in the 90s.
Yes. People would have lapped it
because of the cocaine.
Yeah, man. Lots of shit was flying in the 90s because of the cocaine.
Anyway.
I've seen online reviews saying that this is like a decent return to form for Adam with regards to his comedies. It's really not.
No.
I've not fallen asleep in the Adam Sandler movie for a while, and this one just knocked me the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean, look, my favorites from Adam Sandler are Wedding Singer, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and sometimes Big Daddy.
Mm.
But that's about it. And I love Adam Sandler. I'm a huge fan of his comedy, but those specific comedies, I feel like after a while, they just got worse and worse and worse.
You mentioned his career progression, like how the quality of his films seem to have a steady decline right now.
Yep.
And we've seen some really good peaks in between. I mean, Uncut Gems recently was like...
But that wasn't an Adam Sandler movie.
It's not an Adam Sandler movie, but I mean, for him as an actor, he was really good in that. Things like Punch Drunk, Love, Spanglish... I mean, the movies that you mentioned had so much heart and were so true to his character, but it was still done in a much more mature way, I think. So, for me, it's like he somehow just stalled. Why do you think that is?
Fuck, man. So,
money?
Money definitely plays a part, but I feel like sometimes you just don't evolve and you feel like that's all you can do and this is what the people are looking for. Funnily enough, so... If you don't know, Adam Sandler has a deal with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see so many Adam Sandler Netflix movies coming out.
Was he the first, like, really big actor to actually enter?
Such a big deal. Yeah. So the initial deal was signed in 2014, and that was for 6 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies were Ridiculous 6, The Do-Over.
Jody
feels us strong.
that one hit me right in the prostate.
That was one cut, bro. The Do-Over, Sandy Wexler, The Week of Murder Mystery, which wasn't terrible.
Not terrible at all.
Yeah, and now this is the final one from that 6-picture deal, Ruby Halloween. In this year, though, they signed a new deal for 4 more movies. So we currently have 6 movies on Netflix, and now you have 4 more movies coming from Adam Sandler. Are they going to be the same?
I'm pretty sure they are. One of the good films that came out recently that was released on Netflix but wasn't produced by Adam Sandler was Uncut Gems, which was produced by A24.
Please go watch that movie if you haven't seen it yet. It is the best Adam Sandler performance ever.
Definitely.
100%. But then again, that wasn't made by him.
Yeah, A24 produced that.
And you got the Safdie brothers who also made Good Time. They wanted Adam Sandler from the start.
Mm.
And
they wrote the role for him.
Exactly.
Right?
And when you watch the movie, you'll see why.
Yeah.
The thing is, why do so many bad films when you can do great movies with other people?
You and I watched this interview thing, the Variety Roundtable with various actors, and Adam Sandler was on this panel because of Uncut Gems, and it had a bunch of other really famous actors, including Robert De Niro, Adam Driver, Tom Hanks, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
You could see that Adam Sandler is sitting there almost like he feels he doesn't belong in that conversation.
It was so awkward, Jim.
It was sad. I mean, we feel that this guy, seeing a film like that and the others that I mentioned,
he belongs there.
He belongs there. The guy deserves to be there, but he doesn't believe it. And I think that's a big factor in why he does the type of shit that he
Shame.
Does.
He was like looking at them and speaking to them about their own films, which he's a huge fan of. You can tell he's a fan.
He was like totally fanning out on their films at this panel. And they want to talk to him about his process.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, and the thing is, he actually did the work, right? If you listen to what he did for Uncut Gems, he actually went and spent time in the
He's a good actor, man. He's a good fucking actor.
Exactly. But he needs to know that.
No, but he also needs to work with people who bring that out in him.
Yeah. And that's why I think his loyalty to his friends is not necessarily a good thing.
So, if he continues to make trash on Netflix, but once in a while we get an Uncut Gems, is it worth it?
One for us, 20 for him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. And the sad reality is that as much as we're saying those movies are trash, these movies are making a ton of money, dude. Like, Adam Sandler, Netflix would not enter into the type of deal that they did with him if there wasn't success being brought from
the side. No, definitely. Look, so when you release a movie on Netflix or you make that type of deal, you kind of get rid of the risk of having to perform on your box office and your weekend numbers, because the your majority of your money comes in the first weekend. So if your movie flops in the first weekend, it's a fucking flop.
Yeah.
So he takes that risk away by making these deals.
He gets a massive contract. He's totally guaranteed his money.
The movies, they range about like from 50 mil to 80 mil to make, which is not a lot of money.
No.
It's a lot of money for us, but it's not a lot of money in terms of, you know, making a movie. He gets about 15 mil per film and then an extra 5 mil as a producer. So already he's pocketed sorted. 20 mil per film.
He wears whatever he comes from home with to
100%
every day and just films.
No wardrobe.
There's no wardrobe costs.
Yeah.
And distribution is not an expense either because it's being released on
Netflix. Exactly. He also funds his movies a lot with product placement.
Yeah.
Which is irritating.
So, Russ, maybe you can just explain to the fans what exactly product placement is.
So, product placement, have you ever watched a movie and then you realize that they're taking a drink, right? But the label is perfectly placed in your hand to face the viewer, and they're just holding it and enjoying that drink, and then the movie carries on.
Even better example, everyone has seen The Truman Show.
Yes.
Remember Truman's wife?
Yes.
Every single time she like buys something or brings something home, and she's like, this packet of muffins is the best packet of muffins.
Look what I got free at the checkout. It's a chef's pal. It's a dicer, grater, peeler, all-in-one. Never need sharpening, dishwasher safe.
Wow.
That's like the most blatant example.
Yeah, it's not usually that blatant. Usually it'll be like kind of, I want to say hidden, but not really. Mark Wahlberg in Transformers picking up that fucking Budweiser or whatever and cracking it open and saying some bullshit and carrying on.
You better have insurance. Insurance? It's a freaking spaceship. You go get insurance on a freaking spaceship. Good luck with that, buddy. It's your car? Huh? Sweetie, hand me my alien gun.
Here you go.
And this Adam Sandler movie that you want to tell us about is the exact same thing.
No, but that, so in Murder Mystery, Adam Sandler's Murder Mystery, this was the most blatant case of it, which I could not believe when I actually saw it.
Crazy.
In Murder Mystery, Adam Sandler's character goes to buy allergy meds for his wife, and he's at the shelf and he has to choose between Claritin and Allegra. And he goes for Allegra because Allegra is cheaper. And then eventually the movie carries on and his wife asks for the Claritin and he throws the Allegra to her. And she's like, I asked for Claritin. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's basically the same thing. And she's like, no, Ligra doesn't work for me. And then she throws it back to him.
Sorry.
You're allergic to rich people now?
No, stop it. I'm allergic to stuff. Will you please grab me the Claritin?
Yes.
Yeah. Baby, that's Allegra. You said you packed Claritin.
That's the same thing.
No, honey. I Allegra doesn't work for me.
Oh. Okay, when we get to Monaco, I'll get you your Claritin.
It's not, you're not, it's going to be called something else over there, I'm telling you. Just remember, the blue box.
They might as well have broken the fourth wall and say, hey, buy Claritin.
So he makes a ton of money off of shit like that.
For sure. Look, Michael Bay is also notorious for it, for bringing down the cost of his films, using product placement. But Adam Sandler, I feel, is just in it for the money at this point. And why not, though? At this point in your life, if you're pushing 50 and, you know, you have to do this to survive or whatever, or I say survive, he's rich as fuck.
He's rich as
somebody. Why not make a deal where there's low risk, you make good bank, and you can give all your friends work while you go on holiday to Sun City?
Look, that makes sense. But I think that where our frustration stems from is that we can see that Adam is better than this. Like, we believe that he is good enough to do films that are like Uncut Gems, that are like Punch Drunk Love, where he can still channel his comedic sensibilities. Did you see the Meyerowitz stories?
Yes.
With Ben Stiller and Dustin Hoffman. Brilliant role again. And we feel that that's what he can do, but he settles for less all the time because it seems as though audiences are happy with that. And it's the safe option for you.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he has to do, you know, these intense dramas all the time. He can do comedy and stuff. I'm just looking for something a bit smarter from him. So I want to see more of you, Adam. I know you're listening.
Adam, you're a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
We want to see the real you, man.
We want to see the real you. Make your money, man. Just, you know, make your money. Do what you got to do. But throw one for us once in a while. Because I feel like the only people who lose from these movies are the viewers.
Let's move on to our rating for this week. So, carrying on with our Halloween theme. I've decided on Halloween candies. And because we are from Cape Town and have no idea what actual proper candies are, I've scaled them as follows. Meebos and Wilson's toffees, the hard ones that break your teeth, are like the worst.
That's not the worst because I fucking love Wilson's toffees.
But that explains so much.
About me as a person.
Your favorite movies.
But Wilson blocks are the shit.
They kill your teeth.
It doesn't matter. It's worth the sacrifice.
It's my rating system.
Okay.
Damn it. Meebos, Wilson blocks, Lindt, and Toblerone. Where on this scale of sweetness would you...
Wilson blocks. No.
You just live for Wilson blocks.
I do live for Wilson blocks now. I'm a huge fan of Wilson blocks, but... this was really bad, man.
No good whatsoever.
So a Meebo. Meebos as well.
Meebos are sad.
Wait, which one is the worst one?
Meebos.
Yo, this rating system is cat because I don't eat Toblerone.
Toblerone is fancy as fuck.
It's fancy, but it's cack, man. It's overrated.
So we're going with Meebos as the...
I'll go with Meebos, yeah.
I'm going with Meebos that melted in my mommy's bag and was put in the fridge and was given to me 2 months later for my rating system.
Yo, was it really that bad? Really...
You remember what he said after Uncut Gems? Where he's like, if I don't get nominated for an Oscar, I'm going to make a movie that's so shit you guys are going to hate it.
So do you think this
It was this. That's a quote. Go and find it, guys. He literally said this.
If you have seen this movie and you want to disagree with us or agree with us, tell them how they can do that, Joey.
Hit us up on Instagram, guys. Bioscope Brussel podcast on Instagram. Or send us an email at bioscopebrussel@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to get some interaction on the page. Like and share. We'll give you a faster rant if you do.
All right. We know it's coronavirus and Halloween, so it's extra creepy. So stay safe, everybody.
Safe, guys.
Safe, Joey.